from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Big Kings win last night. That's what we're talking about. I'm Kyle. That's James. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they'll rock with you from noon to four right here on Sacramento's Sports Leader. I think that Keegan Murray last night played his best game of the year. And that is with every ounce of due respect to his 47-point game where he hit 12 three-pointers. Incredible, incredible game.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a blowout win over the Jazz, in part because Keegan had such a remarkable outing. But last night, he scores 28 points. His second highest total of the year, by the way. He scores 28 points.
Okay.
He grabs 12 rebounds, including, I believe, 6.
In the double overtime.
In the second overtime?
Second overtime.
Just in the second overtime.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier, he had the 4 offensive rebounds that led to 3 buckets, 7 points, including his huge 3 that tied the game at 135 late in the second overtime. He was everywhere. He was good defensively. The Magic hit some ridiculous shots last night, but he was good enough defensively. I thought he was extremely impactful. And on a night where, and this is what I have wanted from Keegan Murray all year, this is the kind of growth I want to see from him. On a night where De'Aaron Fox doesn't have it, and Domantas Sabonis is not a player that you're like, yeah, hey, we're going to dump it into you in the post, and you're going to go get a bucket, or hey, you're going to make it rain from three now. He's not a primary score, and Malik Monk is going off. De'Aaron Fox is getting his field goal attempts, but he's not making them. Keegan Murray finishes with 21 field goal attempts, the second most on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes 13 of them. And he scores 28. He has his 12 boards. I was really, really impressed with Keegan Murray last night. We've asked for hustle. We have asked for, hey, go get a rebound. Somebody go impact winning in some way. And outside of Malik Monk, I don't think anybody on the Kings impacted winning more than Keegan Murray did last night.
I agree 100%. When it comes to the ways that you can impact a game, I'm going to give Chris Duarte a little bit of props here. Chris Duarte has a horrible game, throwaway game, right?
Jesus.
No, he did. He did. He had a horrible game. But the night before,
I'm going to give Chris Duarte some props. Had a horrible game.
Okay, but stick with me here, Kyle.
Okay, I'm here.
The night before, he went out and got 7 rebounds, including 4 offensive rebounds and 3 putbacks because he was active and he crashed.
Yes.
All of a sudden, you're seeing Keegan Murray go, oh, that's what they mean. I get it.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Like, mm-hmm. He was impactful. He was all over the place. He was attacking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Kings need. and he figured it out. And I also think there's something about him playing Banchero. There's something about him playing Chet Holmgren, all of those things. Like, he's going to step it up. Like, I expect that when the Detroit Pistons come into roll through town, or oh no, the Kings hit Detroit on the first game of their road trip, right? I expect him to put on a show for Jaden Ivey. Like, I do. Because
you think Jaden Ivey is going to be the reason that Keegan Murray lights it up against the Pistons?
Well, no.
And not that the Pistons are ass?
Yeah, it's probably going to be because the Pistons are not good. But I would also tell you that the way that that he was treated on draft night, where, you know, they did the top five picks, except for Keegan Murray wasn't there. And so instead of having the top four picks, they had the top three picks and Jaden Ivey. Pictures.
That's nuts, dude.
You know, the fact that, you know, on draft night they used a picture of Chris Murray and not Keegan Murray as the picture that they ran when he was drafted. Like, these things, like, Keegan Murray does feel something. Like, even though he keeps a straight face, he does feel something. And he does not like the way that, like, draft and the way that he's been considered and all that stuff. He wants to prove people wrong, just like anyone else would. So I don't think it's any coincidence that he put up 28 points and 12 rebounds against Paolo Banchero, even though Banchero was nuts too. He was crazy good.
He was really, really good.
Yeah, he was.
My podcast co-host, who will remain nameless, was at the game last night, and he texted me. I had the same thought, and I think you mentioned this earlier too. I was totally under the impression that Paolo Banchero was like 6'8".
No.
But my man is an easy 6'10". He's huge. And he shot the heck out of it last night.
Yeah, he's
as
a,
did the rest of the match.
He's a big, I mean, we're not talking about a 6'10", like 215.
Yeah, no, he is.
No. He's a big, big dude.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I would say, like, if I had to guess, I would say 245. Like, he's a big man. He, yeah. Like, on, he, what he looks like to me on the court is just a bigger Carmelo. Yeah, I mean, he's just a bigger Carmelo.
Carmelo's, I know you're not making a direct comparison, but he does not have the offensive bag, though. Carmelo's bag was crazy.
Well, no, he is, but, like, Paolo will get there. Paolo will be a,
yeah,
20,
I am,
a 25 to 30-point game
I'm,
per
I'm
game
score. I'm all in on Paolo.
Yeah.
You averaged 20 in your rookie season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's, no, he's impressive, and like I said during the draft, Paolo will win the rookie of the year, I thought, like, without any problems.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, he'll probably be the best player from the draft for the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, all bets are off. Like, I don't know if Keegan will reach higher heights. I don't know if Chet Holmgren will get there.
Chet's pretty good.
Yeah, no, Chet is. Yeah, but, and even Jabari, like, you don't know. Like, the players around him that are getting Jaden Ivey, Benedict Mathurin, all these players, they have an opportunity to be really, really good players. But Paolo's going to walk in the league and be like, oh, I'm a bucket.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, does it equate to winning? And right now it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're building something there for sure.
Yeah, Orlando's fun.
Yeah.
Orlando's fun, man. I was bummed that the Wagners were both out last night.
Oh,
both
no.
Got banged up last night.
Well, Mo was in.
He only played like 5 minutes.
Oh. You know, it's possible it was just a bad matchup. I don't know.
I'm sorry, he played 13 minutes.
The play where he got a foul call when he went over the back of JaVale McGee.
Franz only played five.
Yeah, Franz rolled his ankle. Paolo's listed at 6'10", 250. That's a legit 6'10", 250.
That's one of my favorite football phrases that they use on a broadcast is, he is 6'6", 250, and he is every bit of 6'6", 250. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. He's not a fake ass 6'6", 250.
Yeah.
No, Paolo was good last night. I think that's interesting, though, because I think De'Aaron has a little bit of the same thing where when he goes up against a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander
or a
Devin Booker or a Luka Doncic or a Kyrie Irving or whoever it is, he wants to go make sure that he's the best player on the court that night.
Oh, I totally agree.
And I think there's something with Keegan's demeanor that I just would not have put that on him. But you have to be a little bit of a competitive psycho to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
Whether you show it outwardly or not. And that's interesting. I'm fascinated to see if that is the case because, yeah, I think the Kings are going to beat Detroit regardless. And if Keegan Murray has a good game, fine. But I'm interested to see if he has like a 30-point game against Detroit.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting. I mean, if you look at Fox, the way that he's handled, like, the four guys that were drafted above him. Mm-hmm. First of all, Josh Johnson was a quick burnout. Markelle Fultz, same thing. I mean, like, that's... But every time De'Aaron Fox faced Lonzo Ball, it was like, all right, game on, man.
I loved the bit in 2018 draft or 2017?
17.
27. The 2017 tournament, like, starting there.
Oh,
was
yeah.
it Lonzo was always ducking De'Aaron Fox?
Well, that I think he dropped 39
yes.
on
yeah.
Lonzo. In
torched
the
UCLA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, I think Lonzo like missed all their preseason games and then missed the first regular season game or something like that. I don't know. It was a fun bit.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, man. I'm having a tough time today because I don't want to get like it was a very, very nice win.
Mm-hmm.
And one that you need to go get because you lose that game. Especially after you're up double digits, like now things could potentially spiral. And now you're in a bad spot. Now the vibes are bad. So it's a good win. But nothing changed for me with where I think this team's at. Hmm. Like it was really great. And Malik Monk goes out and has an awesome game. And Keegan Murray goes out and has an awesome game. Domantas Sabonis continues his tear. And they win a game where De'Aaron Fox doesn't play well. Like that's all well and good. That's fantastic. You love to see it. But it doesn't, for me, erase Charlotte or
yeah.
all the other like weird bad losses they have. It's hard for me to. I would like to see this become. Hey, that was that first step. De'Aaron Fox has talked about consistency. Mike Brown has talked about their consistency. We on this radio station and in the chatty house talked about the Kings' consistency. How maddening it is. All these peaks and valleys. And it's hard for me to look at last night. And it's really fun in the moment, but then trying to zoom out and go big picture with it. It's really hard to not go, okay, well, why is this not just another peak?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that there's not a valley coming tomorrow?
Well, yeah.
And that's kind of the next step in this team's evolution for me.
No, I'm with you, Kyle. You have a winnable game against Toronto. Toronto's not playing well. You've got a game against New Orleans here on Sunday.
Huge.
Like, can you get right against a team that you're competing with? Like, that team should not dominate you every single time you play them.
Yep.
And that's, again, it's not okay for you to not figure that out. Like, you have to show that you can make adjustments against a good team. But then you go on the road, and it starts like, you can't slip up against Detroit. You can't slip up against Charlotte. Like, because once you get past those two, it's Philly, it's Milwaukee, it's Phoenix to finish mm-hmm. a trip. Like those are games where you really have to start to lock in and show that you are the team that that everyone thinks that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got to 7 games over .500 again last night, right? Like this team should be 9 games over .500. They should not have dropped a game. They should be, I think, 11 games over .500 if they don't lose the Portland game. That's where they should be
yeah.
at this point. They should be at 22-11, 11 games over .500 if they don't have the two slip-ups. And you don't have to be perfect, but you can't lose that type of game. And I think that was the hallmark of last season. It was like such a staple. Like this team does not have bad losses. This team does have bad losses this year. They got to figure that one out.
If they were 22-11, they would be in the fourth seed.
Yeah.
By a game.
They would be pacing for, what, 54 wins?
And instead, they are tied with, well, they're them and New Orleans. They're a half game up on New Orleans. They're tied with New Orleans, 4 games back of the one seed and a game out of the play-in.
Mm.
Like, it is, they cannot continue stacking bad losses. And that's why last night's win, like, again, trying to zoom out big picture, regardless of peaks, valleys, et cetera, you needed to go get that one last night.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Real quick pin in the Kings because we had some 49ers related news yesterday as pertains to who's playing on Sunday against the Rams, mm-hmm. who's not. And then the 49ers have a gang of Pro Bowlers.
Wild.
Led the NFL in Pro Bowlers, but their number of alternates is even crazier. We'll talk about all that next on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's 11:16. Hey, before we talk 49ers Pro Bowl stuff, want to remind everybody that we are giving away a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate after each and every Kings game this year, courtesy of the homies over at Jiffy Lube. I need to go to Jiffy Lube, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a car. My car is due for a service. I'm also pushing 250,000 miles, so it is imperative that my car gets serviced.
Okay.
And I'll be taking it to Jiffy Lube.
That's right. You should take it to Jiffy Lube.
I'm going to. I cannot, unfortunately, win this $100 gift certificate. The good news is you can, and it's super easy to enter. You're going to go to ESPN1320.com.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to click on the Jiffy Lube logo. It's front and center. You can't miss it. You click on that. You're going to enter the code word Monk.
Monk.
M-O-N-K. I think Malik Monk was just our player of the game a couple games ago.
Yeah.
Against Memphis, but he earned the hell out of another one, and I don't feel bad giving it to him. As good as Keegan Murray was, as good as Domantas Sabonis was, Malik Monk was the Kings' star player last night. So he is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game. Just go to ESPN1320.com, click on the Jiffy Lube logo, and enter the code word Monk, M-O-N-K, to enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Our guy Manny in the Chatty House won one.
I know, like all kinds of people in the Chatty House have won one.
He hit me up. He was like, "Hey, is this the email I was supposed to get?" I was like, "Yep, congrats, man."
Awesome.
Yeah. Good
for all right.
Yeah, shout out. All right. There was a good question in the Chatty House, speaking of that, about Malik Monk that I want to get to in a minute.
Okay.
But the Pro Bowl rosters were announced last night.
Yep.
For anybody who gives a damn. And I'm having a harder and harder time. Like, I've never really cared about the Pro Bowl, but at least it's always been like, hey, you know what? That guy was a six-time Pro Bowler. That means something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to think it means less and less, and I'll tell you why in a second. But the 49ers had 9 Pro Bowlers.
That's crazy.
No major surprises. Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Fred Warner, Tre'Varius Ward, and Trent Williams. All 9 of those guys very deserving, in my opinion. Is the 8th consecutive Pro Bowl for Kyle Juszczyk.
Oof.
He has the most Pro Bowls ever for a fullback. It helps that he's been one of the only fullbacks in the league that gets used for the last, you know,
is decade. He a Hall of Famer?
No. No, no, no.
8 Pro Bowls? I'm just saying.
No. If Lorenzo Neal's not in the Hall of Fame, Kyle Juszczyk's not in the Hall of Fame.
No, that's true.
All due respect, like, Kyle Juszczyk is great, and he is very helpful for the 49ers. I don't.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm just like, you know, because in the NBA world, eight.
Oh, you're an 8-time All-Star. You're in there.
Yeah, but that also means you're one of the top 24 players in the league.
Everybody makes a Pro Bowl. Mac Jones has a Pro Bowl.
Oh, I think I made the Pro Bowl 1 year.
No, congrats.
Yeah.
I'm an alternate this year.
Okay. Just
my first time. We're crossing our fingers for an injury. We're not doing that. Not an injury. We're crossing our fingers that there's an absence because the team went to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
We don't root for injuries. Hopefully everybody's healthy. 12 alternates for the 49ers.
Mm. That's wild.
Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. Okay, fine.
Uh-huh.
Dre Greenlaw. Yep. Okay, not having a great year, but fine. D'Amore Lenore, having a pretty good year. Okay. Aaron Banks. All right, sure. Their left guard. Jake Brendel. Colton McKivitz. Tabor Pepper. Mitch Wishnowski. And Chase Young. All alternates. If something goes horribly awry for the 49ers and they wind up not going to the Super Bowl where their guys can go participate in the Pro Bowl games,
uh-huh.
And if there is a highly unlikely, nigh impossible, but not off the table world where they could conceivably send 21 players to the Pro Bowl.
That's wild. But here's the reverse, though.
Ideally, that, like I said, they'd send 0, but
if the 49ers go to the Pro Bowl, you got to come up with all these replacements and replacements to the replacements because half their team is a replacement. Yeah, if they do go to the Super Bowl, oh, that'd be a mess.
Yeah, they'd have to 9 alternates, of which maybe their own guys are alternates.
Yeah.
You get some weird-ass Pro Bowlers this year.
That'd be weird.
So Antoine Winfield Jr., this is one quick gripe I have about the Pro Bowl. Antoine Winfield Jr. for the Bucks is maybe in the discussion for best defensive back in the league this year, period. Like, safety, cornerback, whatever. He is that good. He tackles, he rushes the passer, he can cover, he can play in the slot, he does everything.
Yep.
He's generating turnovers. The Bucs are a win away from being a playoff team. They need to beat Carolina in Carolina to make the playoffs. He is not a Pro Bowler.
Is he an alternate?
I'm sure he's probably an alternate.
Yeah. I saw this discussion. That is
akin to like Domantas Sabonis not being an all-star.
Okay.
And he's not in the top 10 in fan voting, as we noted earlier.
Yeah, I know. You hope he doesn't get snubbed. He would be a huge,
You cannot have a legitimate all-star game. And we're not there yet. There's coach voting. There's player voting.
Yeah.
I think Domas eventually gets in.
Yep.
But if he doesn't, I don't know how you have a center who's averaging damn near a triple-double and you're not putting him in your showcase of the league's best player.
Mm.
But again, I'm going to save that complaint until he's not in.
Okay.
Anyways.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, to me, he's a full-fledged all-star and an all-NBA player. And not only that, but the other thing, I think he'll, this will be his fourth. He's like one or two away from like really solid Hall of Fame resume.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
All right, let's. You had that question. Did you start it in the chat, or do you have it up ready to go?
I didn't start.
Boy, rookie mistake.
I do know the question though.
Okay, so this is a question in the chatty house at the break, and if you're not familiar, at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320.
Mm-hmm.
During the breaks, sometimes we are doing other stuff, but we typically just hang out and answer questions and talk in the chatty house. So if you want to hop in and do that, maybe you're listening on your way into work, and when you get to work, you want to hop on YouTube or Twitch and hang out with us, please do that. The chatty house is a great spot to kick it. And a really good question came across.
Yeah. The question is whether or not Malik Monk could sign a 1-1 deal. A 1-1 deal is basically a 2-year contract with the second year being either a player or a team option. And there we go. So the weird thing about the NBA, if you're with a team for 3 years, after your third year, you have what are called Larry Bird rights. It's how, again, like Larry Bird, they were able to circumvent the salary cap, sign Larry Bird for a much larger contract because he had been with the team for so long, right? If you're with the team for 2 years, the only thing you can sign is early bird rights, right? And early bird rights we've seen with Trey Lyles, we've seen with Rashawn Holmes in the past. This year, Malik Monk's early bird rights are a little different. Go ahead.
Pause real quick.
Yes.
So it's early bird as in early Larry Bird rights, not early bird as in like the early bird special.
No, early it's bird early gets the worm. With a capital B, B-I-R-D. Yes.
Huh.
So bird rights are Larry Bird rights. That's the full term. And early bird are early.
Your bird rights early.
Yes, your bird rights early.
I don't know that I knew that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I knew that. Huh, okay, great.
Yeah, it's like
I probably should have made that connection, but I've just, bird rights.
Yes.
That's just what they are. I've never like done a deep dive on why they're called bird rights.
Yeah, it's because,
and like I said, I probably should have made that connection, but I haven't.
I think it's because you got to a certain point where they instituted a salary cap. Larry Bird was aging, but you wanted to pay him more than what you could have. And so they made an exception for a player who had been with a team for more than 3 years where you can go over the salary cap and sign a player to anything that you want within their years of service and whether they're all-stars or all-NBA, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign them up to the maximum and go over the salary cap. So you're at $80 million. And the salary cap's at $100 million, but you have a guy on your roster that's worth $30 million. You can go that $10 million over the cap to retain your own player.
Got it.
So then there's an early bird, right? So the early bird is when you've only been with the team for 2 years. And this is partially the Kings, partially Malik Monk. Someone decided that Monk, they signed him to what's called a mid-level exception. And the mid-level exception can be up to 4 years, the MLE. It's like right? And it can be up to 4 years, and every year, as long as you're not a taxpayer team, you get a mid-level exception. So this mm-hmm. coming offseason, the Kings will get a mid-level exception, which is up to like $12 million now. When Malik signed his, it was 11 point something, but they actually had carved out a small contract, a $1.6 million contract out of the mid-level to give to Sasha, and then Sasha turned them down and stayed overseas. But the reason why you would give him that deal is a normal NBA contract can't be for 4 years. And they're trying to give Sasha a 4-year contract starting at $1.6 million that would go up, right? So anyway, it's a little complex, but the question in hand is, could you give Malik Monk like a 1-and-1 deal where it's a 2-year contract, but the second is like, say, a player option. Mm-hmm. And then he can opt out of the player option after 1 year, and all of a sudden he has his Larry Bird rights. The answer is yes, you can do that, but there's going to be limitations, because even the early bird rights, I believe that they have to be a minimum of 2 years for an early bird contract. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes it a little more complex. I could probably answer it better after I read something really quick during the break. And then, you know, Kyle, there's one other question I wanted to hit. Somebody asked, if I know why Fox lets the ball roll up the court before grabbing it, even when they're up, there's a very specific reason. The shot clock doesn't start until...
Oh, great chance for a tease.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine. We can get to it after the break.
No, we can get to it. Okay. If the shot clock doesn't start until a player touches the ball, but the regular clock in the game keeps running.
Right.
So he's burning seconds off the regular clock when they're up, and then he can burn 8-10 seconds as he's walking with the ball, mm-hmm. just like surrounding. And then when he picks it up, now he has a full shot clock.
It's called walking the dog.
Yeah. He's burning clock is right. what he's doing.
And without then, burning the shot clock.
And then he's also trying to get the ball up as close as he can in midcourt, so when he crosses over, he has a bunch of time on the shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
I have good news for everybody. Well, maybe not everybody, but I'm guessing for most people listening in Sacramento, the Los Angeles Lakers are in shambles. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And final segment of the show, D'Lo and KC coming up next. We're the Insiders. I'm Kyle, that's James. Talking a ton about the Kings. Double overtime win over the Magic last night. Good win. Really good win. You don't love that the Magic shot 25 of 44 from three.
Yeah.
But I think the Kings did the right thing.
It was by design. Like, the Kings took a gamble that they wouldn't hit 25 threes. If they hit 26, you lose. So we just figured out, like, what the formula is if you're going to stop Orlando in that situation.
Well, I said it before yesterday. I went, this is the team that shoots, like, the second fewest threes in the league, and they make them at the lowest clip. So if they're going to go make a bunch of threes and beat you, then you tip your cap.
Yeah, 10.1 threes per game, I think, is what they made before last night.
And then they bang home 25 of them in two OTs.
Yeah, that's just wild.
Just bananas. They are now shooting. They were 33.4% going into the night. They are now at 34.4%. They raised their average 10 points in one night.
Oof. One point.
Yeah, they're still 28th in the league.
34.
And they're 28th in the league in three-point attempts and 29th in three-pointers made.
Well, either way, it's a tough gamble, but if you look at the players who hit threes, like, you cannot predict that those players would hit threes. And I don't even think that they were wide open. Some of them were. You sagged off of them, though, and made sure you double-teamed Paolo all the time. And then when they had to make the adjustment, you saw why. Paolo just goes crazy.
Yeah.
Like, Paolo had, I think he got hurt and went into the locker room at one point. I think his own teammate, like, hit knee to knee or something. He goes in the locker room, comes back out, and at that point he had 16 points. And then he ends up with, what, 37?
43.
Oh, my goodness.
37 was Malik.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 43 points. He was 6 of 9 from 3. Nice. 13 of 25 from the field. 4 boards, 5 assists, 8 turnovers. Still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Nah, he was, man.
He was really good.
Really good. Really,
I mean,
good,
even his final shot to push it to overtime in the regulation. That was crazy. There were three Kings draped.
I thought there was no chance. I thought there was no chance I was going
all over him, and just rose up and hit a big shot. Yeah. He's a talented scorer.
Yeah. That's one of those games, though, that, like, difference between regular season and postseason, right? Because the Magic do that, and they just happen to have their one-off game where they hit 25 threes against the Kings. If they were in a playoff series, if the Kings were playing the Magic in the playoff series, I guess it'd be in the finals. The Kings were playing the Magic in the finals, and they do that in game one, you feel great about the rest of the series. You're like, hey, they're going to come back down to earth, and it's going to take them a couple games to get right. So mark down a couple of wins based on that. Anyways.
All right.
The Lakers are in shambles. You'll be shocked to find out that The Athletic is reporting. Quote, this is from Shams Charania earlier this morning. There's currently a growing disconnect between Darvin Ham and Lakers locker room stemming from disjointedness around rotation and adjustments. Shocking. The LeBron James team is upset with the head coach because of adjustments and rotations.
I thought it was LeBron James who really pushed the envelope on hiring Darvin Ham.
I have no idea. I assume it's LeBron James pushing the envelope on everything there. But
I unplugged there for a sec.
But what's Darvin Ham supposed to do here? Like, the Lakers signed all these dudes expecting, hey, if you get peak Christian Wood and you get peak Jackson Hayes, and if Austin Reeves takes this huge leap, and hey, look at what D'Angelo Russell can do. And who's that? Torian Prince. Man, Torian Prince, look at what he can do from the outside. If he has a great year, like, they were, in theory, the Lakers roster was really good. But in practice, it has not been. And Gabe Vincent, another addition who can shoot it, he's been banged up. But it's like, this to me is not a Darvin Ham problem.
No.
I just think the Lakers aren't very good. And maybe it's both. Like, pork and noodles dos, right? Maybe it's both.
This is not a Darvin Ham issue. I mean,
like,
it's
it might be. Like, yeah. I'm not locked into the Lakers rotations enough to know for sure that there's something way out of whack with their rotations. But I don't look at their roster, and I don't look at the Lakers when I watch them and go, "Oh man, they are. This is a super talented team that is just being poorly managed."
Okay, so last year, right, when we're going into the season, and I thought that everyone thought that the Kings were going to compete for, like, an 8, 9, 10 spot.
Right.
No question. Right. I said on the air multiple times, I wrote it, I like the Kings' chances better than both the Lakers and the Portland Trailblazers, because those were the two teams that you thought that they would really be competing for. I like their chances better because Mike Brown is a more seasoned veteran head coach. Before I watched him coach one single game for the Sacramento Kings, he understands the game better and is more prepared to ride out a bad situation than either Chauncey Billups or Darvin Ham. This is not a knock on those guys. They've got learning to do. The fact that Darvin Ham was able to correct that team and get them all the way to the Western Conference Finals, okay, good for you, right? That's fine. But that doesn't change the fact that Darvin Ham is an inexperienced head coach still. And Mike Brown is in, what, his 10th season as an NBA head coach with a 616 win percentage or something crazy like that? Like, this is a really good head coach. And so, yeah. Is there a problem there? Okay. But, like, for years, LeBron James has been able to handpick who's going to lead the team.
Yep.
He's been able to handpick who's going to play alongside him. And if you looked at this roster at the beginning of the year and thought that you were going to succeed with, again, D'Angelo Russell, Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood, Cam Reddish, Rui Hachimura, let's just circle those guys. Jared Vanderbilt, let's throw him in the mix. Which of those guys has ever led a team to victory in the playoffs? Who has ever been the reason why a team succeeds? You're taking a bunch of non-playoff guys and thinking that you can plug them in. Guys who have not proven to be winners. And, like, look, maybe one or two of those guys steps up and becomes that player. Especially playing alongside LeBron and AD. But there are a lot of players out there that you could have gone out and got that are, like, way more proven. Way more proven.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. And it just seems like for years, you knew exactly the type of player you needed alongside LeBron James, and you just didn't go get it.
Yeah.
Like, good luck with that.
Yeah, Taurean Prince right now, shooting 39% from three.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very good number. 5.5 attempts per game, okay, that's fine. He's averaging 10 points a game.
Yeah.
That's just not, that's not going to do it, man. Hit, knocking down a couple threes a game is not going to get your team over the hump and into championship contention. Like, the Lakers just kind of are, I think, what their roster ultimately is. And maybe, like I said, I totally admit, I have not deep diving Lakers film. And maybe Darvin Ham is leaving that team woefully short. And maybe it's Darvin Ham's fault that LeBron James and Taurean Prince at 5.5 threes a game are tied for the team lead. At attempts.
Yeah.
The Kings have three dudes doing more than that. Malik Monk has more three-point attempts per game than that in 25 minutes a night. So maybe that's it, but it is just, I the Lakers were a team that going into the year were people's pick to, like, go to the finals.
Oh yeah.
Like, smart people that I trust talking basketball had the Lakers going to the finals.
I think the
now
Suns,
they're like 500 and they want to fire their coach.
Hey man, the Suns are still one of the odds on favorite to go to the NBA finals. To win the NBA Finals right now. And it's, again, Phoenix is ninth. They're 18-16.
Can we go ahead.
I'm just saying, like paper champ, there are no paper champions. You can't just put a roster together. And the one time that we think that the Clippers aren't going to be able to put it together, maybe they do. Like, all these times that they've been paper champions, well, maybe it is this year. But, like, there are a lot of decisions that were made there. Yeah. Because I did my research on Christian Wood because I thought, hey, look, Christian Wood is a player that fits right alongside Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a 6'9" guy who can shoot the three, that can block shots, that can rebound, that can get you 20-10. That is, you know, the numbers are phenomenal. Everything I heard was, does not make winning plays at all.
Right.
The numbers that you're seeing, hollow stats. And if I can get that information, you, like, Rob Pelinka could have got that information.
And he might have gotten that information, and LeBron said, no, I want that guy.
I might have got that information from people on the Dallas Mavericks in their bubble. And that's where I, like, so that's a problem. You know, again, a lot of the players that they brought in are guys that look good on paper, and have not been able to win. And you can't just hold that against someone forever that they're not a winner. But if you're in the last couple of years of LeBron James's of his career,
mm-hmm.
like Father Time, it's undefeated. It yeah. will get him eventually.
Well, and that's kind of the thing is early in the year, remember how good he was?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, holy crap, is this sustainable? And it's like, no, man.
Same with Kevin
Durant. We know it's not.
Same with Kevin Durant gets off yep. to this huge start. It's like, man, you can't keep playing Kevin Durant 38 minutes a game at 36 years old.
I get why sportsbooks have the Suns as high as they do. Because if you want to go make the Suns plus 5,000, you're going to get a bunch of people hammering that and going, yeah, I'll throw $100. $100 to win $5,000 on the Suns winning the finals? Like, yeah, for sure. Because just in case.
Yeah.
Because if Bradley Beal and Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are all healthy by April and they make the playoffs, they could absolutely go on a run and win a bunch of games.
Yeah.
But like, am I personally going to go bet on that? No.
No.
But I see why they're an odds-on favorite. I just don't know if anybody, here's what I would love to do. Go round up the people who pick the Suns to go to the finals
mm-hmm.
and some to win the finals. I would like to go round up those people and poll them and say, hey, pause, and say, hey,
why?
No, not why. I know why. Do you change that now? Are you going back on that pick now? Are you confident? Are you still so confident in the Suns because it's Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and I'm sticking by it, even though Minnesota is better, even though Denver is better. In a good sample, in 30-plus games, Minnesota's better, Denver's better, Oklahoma City's better, Sacramento's better, the Clippers are better, the damn Clippers are better.
Mm-hmm.
They're like 10-0 in their last 10 with Kawhi, and then Kawhi, I guess, missed a couple games, but James Harden's playing well. The Mavericks have been better this year. Houston's been about as good as Phoenix. They were certainly better early in the year. Like, there are so many teams in the West better than Phoenix.
Yeah.
The Lakers, not one of them. The Kings are.
It's pretty crazy. Especially, you know, we're seeing the Lakers and the Warriors sitting at 17 and 18 and 16 and 17. And, you know, they're the 9 and, I mean, the 10 and the 11 spot right now.
Yeah.
Like, in a perfect world for all Western Conference fans, Phoenix, LA, and Golden State being the 9-10-11, meaning that one of those teams is out automatically, one of them loses in the play-in, mm-hmm. and one of them has to play a second play-in game before starting a series.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing for teams like Sacramento Kings.
Oh, for sure.
Because they're still dangerous in the playoffs.
Right, and you force them to play extra minutes, all that jazz, yeah, 1,000%. Yeah. And I would be shocked. Like, if you told me right now that the Suns, Lakers, and Warriors all made the play-in, that wouldn't surprise me really at all.
Yeah.
Because I think Golden State clearly needs to make a move. They need to make a trade.
Yeah.
I just don't know what trade is going to be out there for them. Like, I don't know what assets they have.
They just have the giant expiring contract of,
right.
of
and,
Chris Paul.
And maybe a team is enamored with Kuminga or Moody. But again, they're not giving up like major assets for those two guys. So that's mm-hmm. a separate thing. But anyways, even if all three of those teams make the play-in, I'm not sitting here going, hey, all they have to do, like, they're in the play-in because they're not playing well. And I look at them and I go, okay, so for Golden State, we're just going to stick with Golden State. They're local. For Golden State, who's currently out of the play-in,
mm-hmm.
and let's see, they're a game back of the Lakers. The Lakers have played two more games. They have one more win and one more loss. So they're a game back of the Lakers. They would need to overtake the Lakers, Suns, Rockets, Mavericks, and Pelicans to make the playoffs.
Oh.
They have to overtake all of those teams just to make the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
And avoid a play-in.
That's wild.
And I promise they want to. Because yeah. they have a bunch of dudes in their late 30s.
Yeah, and again, I like the play-in, and I guess what the Lakers could say is, like, look, we were the 8th seed last year, and we made it, right? Weren't they the 8th seed?
Yeah, they're the 8th seed, and they went to the conference finals. And Miami was the 8th seed and went to the finals.
Yeah.
But
wait, were they the 8th seed or the Lakers were 7th?
7th seed.
Yeah.
Miami was the 8th seed, though.
Kenny, you ready to join us?
Yeah, Kenny's getting his video loaded up. It's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and KC going to be joining us here in a moment as soon as he gets his video ready. There he is. Kenny Caraway, what's up, bro? How are you?
I'm good, man. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day in Sacramento, California.
My favorite thing, my favorite thing is Kenny after a tough Kings loss, because my man brings it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You were throwing 100 miles an hour yesterday to open the show. And then I went out and I sat for an hour and did some extra work. And then I came back in. I left while you were like, I need more from number 40. I need more from Harrison Barnes. And I came back and you're like, I need more from number 40. I need more from Harrison Barnes.
I mean, poor Harrison. Hey, man, I'm going to just keep it real. And I do feel bad because I love the guy. Harrison got his ass whooped on D'Lo and KC yesterday. I mean, we
did.
It was four straight hours, and we didn't miss an hour where we brought up Harrison Barnes. He showed up last night. You love to see it. Like I always say with Harrison, I've been saying it all year long. You just got to give me something. If it's not scoring, if you're not getting the shots that night or they're not falling, give me some rebounding. If you're not getting rebounds and you're not scoring, give me some defense. Just give me something. And last night, the buckets were falling. Defensively, I mean, Paolo's a tough matchup, so it is what it is. But, he stepped up yesterday and made his presence felt. That's all I'm ever asking for.
Yep.
Is make your presence felt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the way that he stepped up, I mean, again, we can pick apart how he was defensively, but the Kings had to make adjustments because of the made threes. They had to start like hedging towards the outside,
yeah,
just to try to slow them down with the thought that like there's no way these guys are going to keep hitting all these threes, but we probably should show a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And they just kept hitting them, which made it more and more difficult to run a second guy at Paolo. And without Franz Wagner, that team, it was like Paolo or bust.
Right. Can I ask a question not pertaining to the game last night? Well, not directly pertaining, but I want to ask Kenny, because Kenny, you played basketball at a reasonably high level.
Thank you.
And I see the videos. You can still play. Have you ever been in that situation like the Kings were last night, where you have a team or a player who you don't expect to be hitting shots that just will not stop hitting shots? Mm-hmm. And two, just as a player, how does that, because I know as a fan, like watching that, it's really frustrating. It's like, do something. But then as a player, are you like, man, we need to do something? Or is it, hey, percentage, this guy's going to miss eventually?
I know, and I'll even equate that to like when I coach too, right?
Coach at a high level.
You play the percent, well, JV high school. Assistant coach for varsity. That's about it. That's as high as it goes there. And most of the time, it's just little 10, 11-year-olds, right? But and Jeff Van Gundy says this, is one of you, if you have a game plan, don't overreact to a couple things going against the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and if your game plan was the Magic aren't going to shoot the three well, they come out, I think at one point they were like 6-7 or something like that, you still stay with like, hey, this is the game plan, this is what you do. There does come a point in time, player, coach, where you're like, all right, tonight's not that night. Like, they're not the team we scouted tonight. You know, we're going to have to make that adjustment. I thought Mike Brown did a good job of trapping Paolo in the overtimes. I think that's when he really started to do it, in the overtimes, making somebody else beat him. I would have liked to seen them do. What's the big guy's name? Who he was on Indiana now, and
Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis.
Start with a G.
Yeah,
big man. I would have liked to seen them.
Oh, not, Goga.
Yeah, yeah. Like not let him make
Bataze?
A play. Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah,
Paolo would pass out of the trap, give it to him, in the middle of the floor, and they would like really, fall down on him hard, and he'd kick it out to Suggs and these other guys who were hitting threes. I was like, man, just let him go one-on-one. Like, if he gets the two, he gets the two. But that's what I've liked to see, but it all worked out. It all worked out. I thought – I'll talk about this a little bit on the show. I think I tweeted it out. I don't know. The Kings might have been down in the fourth quarter, and I tweeted out late in the fourth quarter. I was like, you know what? This is a great game.
It's a this great, a really game. Good basketball.
This
game.
Is acceptable. Mm-hmm. Like if they were to lose that game, that's acceptable. That's good basketball. Orlando's playing well. They might beat you tonight, but this is acceptable. This is fine.
I totally agree.
We always hear this thing where coaches are like, look, that's an NBA team. Those are NBA players over there. They're on a roster for a reason. Mm-hmm. Last night showed you that it doesn't matter who you're playing. There are some dudes out there that on one given night can just absolutely shoot. I mean, Caleb Houston, 4 of 6 from three. Mm-hmm. Chuma Okeke goes 3 of 4 from three. Wendell Carter, 3 of 3. Yeah. Anthony Black, Jalen Suggs. It's never. I don't think he's ever hit 6 threes in a game. And Paolo, 6 of 9.
Yeah.
But that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. If you lost that game, you lost because a team just could not miss.
Right. Yep.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. The vibes would have been tough today if they had lost that game, though. Especially in the second OT.
Yeah, the vibes would
have been tough.
It would have. To a certain degree, I said the same thing in my mind. Not
would have killed Harrison for his defense on Paolo.
I'm going to leave it I'm gonna leave it alone today.
Hey, but get Kevin Huerter instead.
Oh, man. I'll talk about Kevin because people were mad that he tried to dunk on old boy. I take the ball to the basket. I'm not wrong. I'm not okay with it. I don't have no problem with that.
That
was an outstanding defensive play.
Yeah.
But he missed Malik Monk, who was flying down the lane ready for a circus dunk.
Yeah, true.
He was a trailer coming all by himself. All right.
Herter's headband's got to go, Kenny. That's my big take from today.
That's a big take.
All right, headband's got to go.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. All right. What do you guys got coming up today?
Kings, LeBron, All-Star voting came out, this morning. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And the vibes are good. We got Drake Bars at 12:20, man. It's
Drake Bars.
Drake Bars is popping off today.
59-0?
Yeah.
Drake Bars game is done.
I mean, that's a guaranteed win.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Guaranteed.
I have a question for you guys to take into your show.
Okay.
Domantas Sabonis not in the top 10 of all-star voting in the front court.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is Kevin O'Connor's fault?
I mean, I don't know how much Kevin O'Connell has to play with that. But
Vikings head coach,
it's just a lot of incompetence. There's a lot of incompetence going on in NBA Twitter, NBA world.
You know who's not incompetent? D'Lo and Casey, and they're coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.